Logic dictates that given their extremely high level of technical development...
Well, it's too technical to explain to the lay mind.
Welcome to Talking Technicals on Money Life, where we don't find technical analysis too hard to explain to the lay mind, because we are talking with experts who are really good at explaining it. And today's expert is Buck Clintworth. He's Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Chase Investment Counsel. It is chaseinv.com if you're looking for more information on the firm. And oh, by the way, Buck is part of the management team for the Chase Growth Fund, which is ticker symbol CHASX, if you're looking for more information. Buck Clintworth, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Thanks for having me, Chuck.
So this has been an interesting market because we got to where we were at record highs. And as a technical analyst, record highs are interesting because you're literally at a spot where you can't chart an upper limit. You can't look and go, oh, wait, hold it. There's clearly what's going to be my resistance level, et cetera. Then we backed away from that. And now the market's gone on a bit of a run just when a lot of people were saying they thought maybe it was going to back away for a while. So where are we now? Are we closer in your mind to pushing into or back into record high territory, or do we need to have a breather?
Well, there's certainly a lot of things going on that are positive in the market right now that indicate that we should be able to push higher. You know, if you look back at the market rallies in 2020, 2021, and 2023, the market had big gains, but most of that was driven by the mega cap tech stocks. So the market rally was narrow, which is not what you want to see for the rally to continue. This year, it's not just a half dozen stocks that are driving market gains. We have a much stronger foundation for a continued rally. You know, in addition, if you look at what's doing well, growth stocks are doing better than value stocks. That means investors are feeling better about the market. They're not racing into the perceived safe haven of value stocks. And a happy investor makes for a happy stock market. One interesting thing to notice is if you look at the mid-cap and small-cap space, those have tended to lag over the last several years. Well, right now, growth and value are doing about the same in those spaces. But the returns, while they've still lagged the large cap returns so far this year, they've gotten better than they have in years past. What that means is that investors are more confident getting into those smaller stocks. When investors are willing to take on more risk in those smaller stocks, that's what's going to keep driving the market higher.
When you talk about the market being driven higher, how much of a damper on that is the Fed, and how does that damper show up technically? Is it simply a case of we struggle to break through new barriers?
You tend to have a wait-and-see period. You know, right now, investors may want to see what happens with the Federal Reserve and rates. They also may want to see what happens with November's election, whether a candidate dies between now and November. That's certainly going to shake things up. Yeah, right now you have a couple things that are in a tug of war with each other. Investor sentiment has shifted to a bullish tone, and that's good, but it's still below its historical average. So it's bullish, but it's not over bullish. At the same time, when you look at breadth of the market, even though I talked about things are better than they have been in the past, only about a quarter of industry groups are currently in a defined uptrend, which is its lowest number in about 6 months. And when you look at the industry groups that are doing well, you know, you've seen utilities and staples, which have lagged horribly recently. They've been making 26-week new highs on an absolute and relative basis. And you've seen a number of regional banks doing well since the middle of April. So we have this tug of war of investor sentiment and market breadth, neither being overwhelming. So it's possible that we may see a period of time where investors are in a wait and see period. You trade in a range. As long as nothing bad happens, you could continue to drift up, but it's more likely to be a gradual thing.
Everything eventually shows up in the numbers. We've had one war that's been going on 2 years now, and another that's been going on for 6-7 months, and neither has had a significant impact realistically on the market. Do they show up at some point? And if so, how?
The way that they show up is you have to dig into the stocks that are doing well. For instance, you might want to avoid Israeli-based stocks, you know, companies right now, because there is a possibility that something bad could happen to their headquarters. the way to think of it is, as long as nothing major happens, I'm not saying that a war is not major, but there's been conflict in the Middle East for a long time. The Ukraine-Russia conflict, people have sort of gotten used to it. It's the major changes that cause problems. The market hates uncertainty, as you know. And as long as things go along, even if they're slightly bad, slightly good, as long as people feel confident that, okay, this is what we're dealing with, you can go ahead and make decisions based upon that. That's not to say that something major can't happen and affect the technical outlook, but you can sort of see cracks happening in stocks before something major happens, because let's face it, there are people a lot smarter than you and me who have information about stuff, and they can act on that, and that'll show up in the stocks themselves.
They're pretty optimistic about a relatively benign market for now. But is trouble coming? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know that anybody's going to take your possibility of a presidential candidate not making it to Election Day as the likely one. But, you know, that would be the most extreme possible event. But if everything else with the election just turns out to where one party or the other, I don't care which one, I mean, I care, but I don't care for the purposes of this conversation, which one wins control in Washington or any of those sorts of things. Does that play out in different ways for you, or whatever we get in 2025 will be the result of a lot of things, but the election's only going to be a very small piece of that?
It plays out on the margins. You know, you don't see either party saying, by golly, if we take power, government spending is going to be cut by 30%. You know, we've had decades of evidence showing that major things don't really change. The government keeps growing bigger, keeps spending. There are things on the outside. For instance, you know, if Democrats take control of Congress, you know, there are certain industries that they focus on and hold hearings on. You might want to avoid those. If Republicans take control, it's the reverse. So it's really a matter of the core doesn't change. It's the outside. And you'll see that in the reaction of certain stocks. When election night comes and when it becomes clear as to who's going to be in control.
So you and I typically talk two times a year, roughly every 6 months. So on that pace, we'll be setting up for where the next time we talk, you'll be getting ready to do an outlook for 2025. If I had you polish up and try to look into your crystal ball, are you expecting that 2025 is the year where we get the things that we thought might happen this year, like, you know, a recession and the yield curve coming to roost and all the rest, and maybe the market backing away harder from highs? Or is 2025 set up to be more benign than people are expecting? Because it seems to be a lot of people thinking that whatever we're not getting this year, good, bad, or otherwise, is coming next year.
There's a lot of things that could happen, and it's hard to predict, okay, what's going to happen that you're not expecting. The way it looks now, if I were to jump 6 months ahead, I'd say, well, it seems pretty much business as usual. Once again, that doesn't mean that the market is going to go up 15-20%. It doesn't mean it's going to go down 15-20%. Could trade sort of more muted. But in any case, I don't think there's reason to panic. There's not going to be the major shift that scares investors, at least the way that things look now. Once again, who knows what will happen, but right now, that's not what we foresee.
Buck, great stuff as always. I look forward to that conversation down the line as we get near the end of the year. Meanwhile, stay well. Thanks so much for joining me again on the show.
Thank you.
That's Buck Clintworth. He's Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Chase Investment Counsel. ChaseInv.com, the website where you can learn more about him and the firm and the Chase Growth Fund, CHASX, the ticker symbol there.